Epilogue. Bathed in light. Egwene worked by the light of two bronze lamps. They were shaped like women holding their hands into the air, a burst of flame appearing in each set of palms. The calm yellow light reflected on the curves of their hands, arms, and faces. Were they symbols of the White Tower and the flame of Tarvalin? Or were they instead depictions of an Aes Sedai weaving fire? Perhaps they were simply relics of a previous Ammerlin's taste. They sat on either side of her desk. A proper desk, finally, with a proper chair to sit upon. She was inside the Ammerlin's study, purged of any and all references to Elida. That left it bare, the walls empty, the wood paneling unadorned by picture or tapestry, the end tables empty of works of art. Even the bookshelves had been emptied, lest something of Elida's offend Egwene. The moment Egwene had seen what the others had done, she had ordered all of Elida's effects gathered and placed under secure lock, guarded by women Egwene trusted. Hidden among those effects would be clues to Elida's plans. They might simply be hidden notes slipped between the pages of books, left for further review. Or they might be as obscure as connections between the types of books she'd been reading or the items she'd had in the desk drawers. But they didn't have Elida herself to question, and there was no telling what schemes of hers would return to bite the White Tower at a later date. Egwene intended to look over those objects, then interview each and every Aes Sedai who had been in the tower and determine what clues they hid. For now, she had her hands full. She shook her head, turning over the pages of Sylviana's report. The woman was proving to be an effective keeper indeed, far more skilled than Shiriam had ever been. The loyalist women respected Sylviana, and the Red Aja seemed to have accepted, at least in part, Egwene's offer of peace in choosing one of their own as her keeper. Of course, Egwene also had two stiff letters of disapproval, one from Romanda and one from Lilaine, on the bottom of her stack. The two women had withdrawn their effusive support almost as quickly as they'd given it. Right now they were arguing over what to do with the Demane Egwene had captured during the White Tower raid, and neither one liked Egwene's plan to train them as Aes Sedai. Romanda and Lilaine would trouble her for years yet, it appeared. She set the report aside. It was late afternoon, and light peeked through the slits of the louvered shutters to her balcony. She didn't open them, preferring the quiet dimness. The solitude felt nice. For now, she didn't mind the room's sparse decorations. True, it reminded her just a little too much of the study of the Mistress of Novices, but no number of wall hangings would banish her memory of those days, not when Sylviana herself was Egwene's keeper. That was fine. Why would Egwene want to banish those days? They contained some of her most satisfying victories. Though she certainly didn't mind being able to sit without cringing. She smiled faintly, scanning the next of Sylviana's reports. Then she frowned. Most of the Black Aja in the tower had escaped. This report, written in Sylviana's careful, flowing script, told that they had managed to seize some of the Blacks in the hours following Egwene's raising, but only the weakest of the lot. The majority of them, some 60 Black sisters, had escaped, including one sitter, as Egwene had noticed before, whose name had not been on Verin's list. Ivan Aline's disappearance indicated strongly that she was Black. Egwene picked up another report, frowning to herself. It was a list of all the women in the White Tower, an extensive list several pages long, broken down by Aja. Many names had a notation beside them. Black, escaped. Black, captured. Taken by the Seanchan. That last group was galling. Saeron, acting with foresight, had taken a census following the attack to determine exactly who had been captured. Nearly 40 initiates, over 24 of them full Aes Sedai, snatched in the night and carried off. It was like a story told to children at bedtime, warning of fades or half-men who stole wicked children. Those women would be beaten, confined, and turned into nothing more than tools. Egwene had to steel herself from reaching up to feel her neck, where the collar had held her. She wasn't focusing on that right now, burn it all. Each of the Black Aja members on Verin's list had been seen healthy and alive following the Shanchan attack, but most had escaped before Egwene arrived at the tower to take her seat. Velina was gone. So were Chai and Berlin. And Alviarin. The Black Hunters hadn't managed to get to her in time. What had tipped them off? Unfortunately, it had probably something to do with Egwene seizing the Black Aja in the rebel camp. She had worried about overplaying her hand, but what else should she have done? Her only hope had been to seize every Black in the camp and hope that word didn't spread to the White Tower. But it had. She'd captured the ones who remained and had them executed. Then she'd re-sworn every sister in the tower on the oath rod. They hadn't liked it, of course. But the knowledge that all of the women in the rebel camp had done it had swayed them. If it hadn't, the news that Egwene had ordered the execution of her own keeper probably did. It had certainly been a relief when Sylviana had offered to swear first in front of the entire hall to prove herself. Egwene had followed by re-swearing herself, then told the hall truthfully that she had watched each and every woman in the camp prove that she wasn't a dark friend. They'd captured 3 more Black sisters who hadn't been on Verin's list. Only 3. What accuracy! Verin had proven herself once again. Egwene set aside the report. Knowledge of those who had escaped still chewed at her. She had known the names of 60 dark friends, and they had escaped her grasp. That number reached to 80 if she included those who had escaped from the rebel camp. "I will find you, Alviarin," Egwene thought, tapping the sheet with her finger. "I will find you all. You were a rot within the tower itself. The worst kind of rot. I will not let you spread it." She set the sheet aside and picked up another. This one bore only a few names. A list of all the women in the tower who had not been on Verin's list, and who had either been taken by the Shanchan or had disappeared following the attack. Verin had believed that one of the Forsaken, Messana, was hiding in the tower. Shiriam's confession corroborated this. Egwene's task of re-swearing every Aes Sedai on the rod had revealed no dark friends of great power. Hopefully the re-swearing itself would ease the tension between the Ajas. They could stop worrying if there were Blacks in their midst. Of course, it could very well weaken the Aes Sedai by giving proof that the Black Aja had indeed existed in the first place. Either way, Egwene had a problem. She looked over the sheet before her. Each woman in the White Tower had proven that she was not a dark friend. Each woman on Verin's list was accounted for. She'd been executed, she'd been captured, she'd fled the White Tower the day of Egwene's ascension, she'd been taken by the Shanshan, or she was out of the tower at the moment and had been for some time. The sisters had instructions to watch for those. Perhaps they'd been lucky. And the Forsaken was one of those women who had been taken by the Shanchan. But Egwene didn't believe in that kind of luck. One of the Forsaken would not be captured so easily. She'd probably known about the attack in the first place. That left the 3 names on the list in front of Egwene. Nalaysia Murhan, a brown, Teramina, a green, and Jamalilla Norsish, a red. All were very weak in the power. And the women on this list had all been in the tower for years. It seemed implausible that Messana had been impersonating one of them and doing it so well that her subterfuge hadn't been noticed. Egwene had a feeling, a premonition perhaps, at the very least, a fear. These 3 names were the only ones who could have been the Forsaken, but none of them fit. Not at all. That gave her a chill. Was Messana still hiding in the tower? If so, she somehow knew how to defeat the oath rod. A soft knock came at her door. It cracked a moment later. "Mother?" Sylviana asked. Egwene looked up, raising her eyebrows. "I thought you might want to see this," Sylviana said, entering, her hair back in its tidy black bun, the red keeper's stole around her shoulders. "What is it? You should come and see." Curious, Egwene rose. There was no tension to Sylviana's voice, so it couldn't be anything too dire. The two of them left the study behind, walking around the outside of the building to the hall of the tower. When they reached it, Egwene raised an eyebrow. Sylviana gestured for her to enter. The hall wasn't in session, and the chairs sat empty. A scattering of mason's tools lay on white sheets in the corner, and a group of workers in thick brown overalls and white shirts, sleeves rolled up, were collected in front of the gap in the wall that the Seanchan had left. Egwene had ordered a rose window fitted into the opening, instead of having it sealed up completely, a remembrance for the time the White Tower had been attacked, a warning to prevent its happening again. Before the window could be installed, however, stonemasons were busy shoring up the sides and creating the fitting. Egwene and Sylviana glided into the room, walking down the short ramp to the floor, which had again been properly painted with the colors of all seven Ajahs. The stonemasons saw them, then backed away respectfully, one man pulling off his cap and clutching it to his chest. Reaching the edge of the room, just before the opening, Egwene finally saw what Sylviana had brought her to see. After all this time, the clouds had finally broken. They had pulled back in a ring around Dragonmount. The sun shone down, radiant, lighting the distant snow-capped crag. The broken maw and uppermost peak of the blasted mountainside were bathed in light. It was the first time Egwene could remember seeing direct sunlight in weeks, perhaps longer. "Some novices noticed it first, Mother," Sylviana said, stepping up beside her. "A news spread quickly. Who would have thought that a little ring of sunlight would cause such a stir? It's such a simple thing, really. Nothing we haven't seen before. But there was something beautiful about it. The light streaming down in a column, strong and pure, distant yet striking. It was like something forgotten but somehow still familiar, shining forth from a distant memory to bring warmth again." "What does it mean?" Sylviana asked. "I don't know," Egwene said, "but I welcome the sight of it." She hesitated. "That opening in the clouds is too even to be natural. Mark this day on the calendars, Sylviana. Something has happened. Perhaps, eventually, we shall know the truth of it." "Yes, Mother," Sylviana said, looking out through the gap again. Egwene stood with her, rather than returning to her study immediately. It felt relaxing to stare out at that distant light, so welcoming and noble. "Storms will soon come," it seemed to say. "But for now, I am here. I am here."